Hello and welcome to Dunktown, the podcast where we learn about basketball one game at a time. I'm Anastasia.
And I'm Agata.
And today we have an extra special guest. He's a writer from SB Nation. It's Brady Coffer.
Hi.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for having me again. I'm so excited to be a repeat guest. This is fun.
Oh, my God. It's an elite club and you get to be part of it.
I'm very
also
honored.
Like, I don't want to like bring up bad memories, uh-oh, but
where's this going?
But we had you on right at the beginning of the pandemic.
Oh yeah.
I feel like that we really went through something in between these two.
That's true. I'm going to listen to them back to back.
Yeah. Kind of bookending the pandemic here.
Yeah.
So how'd you do?
Yeah. We'll score you.
I feel like I did pretty well, but I feel like that was my answer back then when y'all asked me how I was holding up. And I was like, oh, better than most people, I think. And I think that held true through the whole thing. I think
you said I've got a lot of books.
Oh,
I do have a lot of books. I read a lot of them. I looked at a lot of them.
Nice.
I added more to them and rearranged them many times.
That's amazing.
So I like took them off the walls and then put them back on the wall.
You're always engaged with them in some way.
Exactly. They're a good friend, really.
How was moving during the pandemic?
It was intense.
Yeah.
Because I moved in December. And so it was like kind of, when everything was at its worst.
Yeah.
So I was really not wanting to like interact with humans in any way, shape, or form. So like I didn't hire anyone and I didn't even rent a truck or anything.
Oh my God.
So it was
How did you do it?
Well, a lot of drives. It was me and my girlfriend and our Fiat, which is,
oh my God,
itty bitty bitty.
How do you put furniture in that?
We did like 40 treks in the Fiat over the course of like 10 days moving stuff from one apartment to another.
What? How do you put a couch in that thing?
We did not. We were at the like blessed stage where we had been at our last apartment for way too long and everything basically needed to go furniture-wise. So we threw away a lot of stuff and bought a lot of new stuff. So it was mostly just like all of the like small stuff, like hundreds of books and that kind of stuff.
So your Fiat was just filled to the brim with books.
Yeah.
To the
brim.
You
couldn't even use the brake because there was books under there.
A Fiat filled to the brim with books is like
20
six books and an encyclopedia. So
I've got a smart car, so my car is even smaller than yours. And,
oh gosh.
I fill that thing full of books all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys can relate.
Yeah. Yeah. Just go to the last bookstore, grab a couple of things here and there. You're at max capacity.
Suddenly
real fast.
The car's full.
Yeah.
But you can park it easily.
That's true. I do love that. I'm just impressed that you used only your Fiat to move. That's crazy.
We got
huge.
Halfway through and I was like, I really should have just gotten booked over it and like, yeah, just gotten a U-Haul. This would have been so much easier. But at that point, you're already like pot committed. You're like, I've done this halfway through.
Right.
Like, I got to see it out because I'm going to feel like a total idiot if I like get a U-Haul now. And I'm like, well, that was easy. At least now I didn't have to confront how easy it would have been to have done it a better way.
Well, the nice thing about a U-Haul is that you're like, that's my moving day and I'm doing all this shit no matter what. When you're going with your car, which I have done that version before, you're like that. It drags on for weeks and you're just like every morning and every evening, you're like, I'm going to do a little bit more.
I should take some because.
Might as well.
Chip away in it.
That is so true. And I thought I was being smart by having like a 12-day window between when our new lease started and our old one ended. And I'm like, oh, that's great. That's a lot of time. But then you just like use all of that time instead of just like getting through it.
Right. Like one weekend of like backbreaking labor.
Exactly. Which would have been so much nicer in hindsight. But it's like those college essays that you're not going to finish them till like 2 minutes before it's due.
That's okay. I mean, you made it. You have all your stuff.
How's your new place?
a gigantic improvement over my last place.
That's awesome.
So yeah, very, congrats. Very happy. It's thank you. It's been nice. I feel a little bit more like an adult than
in
the apartment that I moved into when I was unemployed and 23. And so, yeah, you know, slowly moving up in the world.
Nice. So I feel like so much has happened since we talked to you. Cause I think if I recall correctly, we talked to you like even before The Last Dance came out and like before the bubble and all of that.
Yeah.
And so first of all, what'd you think of The Last Dance?
Oh my God. It was so good. It was, I mean, I know that there are a lot of people who had valid criticisms about the objectivity of it.
Yeah.
Which is fair when, you know, it was like produced by his assistant or whatever. And I didn't give a shit, to be honest. Like,
yeah,
I had too much of childhood worshiping LeBron James, watching Space Jam every night for like 2 months to care if it was like objective or fair or anything. It was just 10 hours of Michael Jordan doing things and talking about things that I'd never seen before.
Yeah.
And I loved the hell out of it. Every moment of it. It was awesome.
It was just good,
was fun
storytelling too. It was just like fun, you know, lots of tense moments.
Oh boy.
They made it very compelling, which I guess is, you know, kind of easy with Michael Jordan, but like, I don't know, taking something like 20 years old and more than 20 years old and still making it a compelling storyline. I feel like they did really well with that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that criticism of like, you know, when the subject is like so close to it, like it does feel like some of that stuff gets distorted or like the
there's definitely a bias.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And I feel that way about biopics too. Like if someone's alive and they're making a movie about them and they're involved, like I don't want to see your like version of yourself.
Yeah.
But
totally.
Let's see the real gritty, like hot take version after someone's dead.
Exactly. I want to see the real shit. And I don't want you to like ignore the horrible stuff this person did because you don't want to make them feel bad. But like with Michael Jordan, it's like everyone kind of knows his skeletons and like,
very
you know,
true.
The horrible.
Yeah. Like the way he treated behavior. People and like, and that, you know, we all still respect him, but like, I don't think that goes away just because you acknowledge that like he was a dick to people.
Yeah,
totally. Like, totally.
He's good at no one's saying you're worse at basketball because you're being an asshole. Like, we all know that's part of him,
right?
It's tough though.
Yeah, and I feel like in that way, it was very fitting. It was very him. Like it put the bad stuff just in the closet and closed the door and made you not look at it. And it embraced and glorified the entertainment element of it.
Right.
And like, that obviously is problematic, but it's also kind of a fitting like way to tie up his career because that was what his career was the whole time.
Right.
Yeah. Like
that's what we had with him.
Yeah, for sure.
So we also, you know, last time we talked to you, it was pre-Wubble. Did you cover the Wubble and the bubble?
Yes, just the Wubble. Yeah, I mean, I covered it as best as they could. I obviously wasn't there. They didn't allow anyone, you know, like the NBA with the bubble. I think they allowed 10 media people at a time. And the Wubble didn't allow anyone. Like the only media people that were allowed in there were the two filmmakers who shot the 144 documentary. So I definitely wasn't there, but in a way I was covering it like more closely than I cover the Sparks in a normal year because everything was on Zoom and now everything's on Zoom and it's still the same. Like I'm still covering them more than I probably was in 2019 because you don't have to go to every game. You don't have to go to every practice. You can just hop on your computer. So it was a pretty nice experience for me, to be honest. I mean, I don't envy the players having to go through that, but it was fun to cover something so historical and so unprecedented.
Seriously.
And still have that much access to it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I mean, I think this is like everything during the pandemic where it's like we kind of realize how little we were using technology in the past.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I hope they use Zoom and stuff more.
Right. Why not?
In the future, you know?
Yeah, they know how to do it. They're used to it now. They can't be like, we don't have the ability to like set up these live streams so that people can be part of this. Like it's kind of the same as like companies who are like, well, back to normal. It's like, well, no, nobody
wants
that.
Remote, yeah. You know,
like good
work.
Things came out of this horrible bullshit. Yeah.
Learn something from this.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. And like, yeah, you don't have to be flying all over the place just to see what's going on.
Yeah. Just to ask one question.
Yeah. That's cool.
I feel like the players like it a lot more too, because, you know, you don't have a bunch of people just like screaming in your face and smelling everyone's breath and like having to fight them away when your few minutes are up. It's like so much easier to just like take a question, leave, so
that's
on and
true.
So forth.
Yeah, you can just turn the screen off and be like, bye.
Yeah.
And I, you know, in the past there were like people in the locker room.
Right. Like, you know, like waiting to like intercept you and be like, hey, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And it's like, now there's like a very specific time where it's like, you go, you do your media stuff over Zoom, and then it's done, you know?
Yeah. It's way more efficient for everyone.
Yeah.
Hell
which
yeah.
is great.
Let's keep it up. If they're listening, keep it up.
Yeah. So what did you think of the wobble? Like, did you, and by the way, I kind of hate the term wobble. I hate that I'm saying it so much.
You said it like 12 times.
I just want to put that out there.
It's really bad.
But yeah. It's like, it's kind of convenient. It's like a convenient word to use. So that's why I'm using it.
We cut corners.
But but like, how do you think things went? I know, you know, a lot of key people weren't in there. And that might have changed the outcome, but the fact that the Storm won the championship then, I don't think is like that big of a surprise.
Right. Yeah.
You know? Maybe it was a surprise for some people just because both Brianna Stewart and Sue Bird were coming back from really big injuries.
Right.
But it's like they still had all the key players, you know?
Yeah, and they came back from injury and like looked amazing.
Yeah.
So like even if everyone else had been healthy, I think like by the time the playoffs came around, they would have been the favorites. Anyway, like they surprised me because I just don't expect anyone to come back from a torn Achilles and like look better than they did before.
Yeah.
But Brianna Stewart did.
That was amazing.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on between Brianna Stewart and Kevin Durant, both just like shaking off a torn Achilles and coming back like
nothing
happened.
I thought you
happened.
Were saying like they were hooking up or something. I was like, ooh la la.
That would be a huge
What's
surprise.
Going on
that
between
would be
those
a little
two.
Bit of you know, breaking news here.
Oh my God. I would love that.
That would
I
be,
mean, you just like how player... juicy the gossip
well,
is.
I do love that shit. But why has an NBA player ever dated a WNBA player?
That's a really good question.
Never thought about this before.
What about Candace Parker? Wasn't she
with... Oh, yes. That's a good point. Candace Parker was married to Sheldon Williams, who was in the NBA for a while. Wait, actually, Kevin Durant, I believe when he first entered the league, was dating a WNBA player, but I don't remember who.
That's cool.
But I think he was very
Gabe,
briefly.
Gabe, look it up.
I could be entirely
Gabe's
wrong.
Like, I don't want to Google this. You didn't even use his sound drop that's like, Gabe is Googling it.
Gabe was not, this didn't feel as pressing
Gabe
to him.
Gabe is Googling it.
There we go. Okay,
briefly engaged.
Whoa!
Holy shit.
Wow.
Monica Wright.
Well, there we go.
Monica Wright was a role player in the WNBA for several years. And at what point was the future of Mrs. Kevin Durant?
I wonder what happened.
Maybe it was all of his sultry tweets about Scarlett Johansson.
Or Rihanna.
Or Rihanna.
Not sure that I would tolerate that kind of behavior.
Honestly, I want my fiance to be thirsty on Twitter at celebrities. Like, I want him to be shooting his shot.
Yeah, that's a great thing.
You both are like really yeah. thirsty online.
I'm just like at Kelly Oubre, like, hi, babe.
That's so funny.
I'm pretty thirsty for Kelly Oubre Jr. Online as well. So
I mean, who isn't? There. Like, it's weirder to not be, I think.
That is very true.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Speaking of being thirsty for players, last time you were on, we asked you who you would kiss. You said Giannis, which was a great, you know, we loved that response. You also said your backup was Joel Embiid.
Ooh.
Do you still agree with these choices?
Yeah. We're going to ask you every time you're on the show if you stand by
if there's a new person you want to kiss.
So it's funny because right as you said that, I remembered saying Giannis. I had no recollection of saying Joel Embiid as my backup. So as you were bringing this up, I was thinking about it. I'm like, all right, well, I remember Giannis and I think he would still be my choice, but maybe it would be Joel Embiid. So I guess that's my way of saying, yeah.
You're consistent.
Yeah, I'm sticking with those.
That's cool. Great. Yeah,
they just,
that's
you fine. Know, they seem like nice
guys. He could
guys.
Be a freak on the court and on the shit, oh you God. Know what I'm saying?
That could be you.
That could be about you.
I love that.
Oh my God.
I mean, honestly, great choices.
Yeah.
I do feel like, first of all, Giannis, come on.
He's like a, come on. He's literally a Greek god.
Right?
Yeah. He's perfect. Perfect in body, mind, and soul is what I was trying to say.
And he's such a like a sweetie at the same time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's very gentle
part.
And
that's
loving.
The soul part. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Joel, it's like, you want someone who's like a little wild, you know, but like, he's really big, he's really fun, he'll just like scoop you up, really smooch you down.
To me, he seems like the kind of guy who'd be like, taking you out on a boat party, right. You know, champagne, cheese plate, everything's going
These
on.
These are some of my favorite things in the world.
Yeah, exactly, me
All
too.
All I want is a cheese plate and some champagne on a boat, I mean...
Wait, Joel Embiid was the one that was tweeting at Rihanna.
He was tweeting at Rihanna.
That wasn't Kevin Durant. I got them mixed up.
I'm pretty sure Kevin Durant has tweeted at Rihanna too.
Who hasn't? Yeah, that's honestly. True.
Yeah,
I've tweeted
I mean,
at
who
her.
Amongst us.
True. But he was really shooting a shot at her,
I
love.
He went like full 110% with that shot.
Yeah.
I respect that. When you know that many eyeballs are going to see it and you're still shooting that shot.
But the thing is, there's no... She only has eyes for LeBron.
That's true. She doesn't
care. She has repeatedly shown her loyalty.
Yeah.
To an alarming extent.
Yeah, it makes making his wife uncomfortable extent. Where she's like, okay, I get it.
I mean, that would be a very like Savannah James is like a wonderful, wonderful human being.
Yeah.
But that would be intimidating for anyone.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how great you are to have Rihanna shooting their shot at your partner. Like,
yeah.
That's I would might crumble. Be the most intimidating thing yeah. ever.
I would crumble and I would be jealous. I'd be like, why not me?
I would almost be mad if they didn't leave me for Rihanna because,
yeah.
Like,
you
would leave
me.
Yeah, I'd be like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah,
that
why
you would pick me over Rihanna?
Anyways, I might say more about our self-esteem. So we need to get to Rihanna level.
I just love her.
Okay, so. Flash forward to the current season. First question for you is, who are the rookies that you're really seeing pop off in the WNBA this season?
Ooh, that's been a hard one because truthfully, like, the kind of harsh answer is no one.
Yeah.
Like, it just hasn't been, like, there have been a lot of good rookies, but it just hasn't been a year yet for the rookies to have those dramatic rookie seasons like Arike Ogunbowale had a few years ago.
Yeah.
And Nafisa Collier had that same year. And I think part of it is like, it's just a really competitive year. Right. So like all the teams are kind of still making their playoff pushes. Like there aren't, there's really only one team in Indiana that is like clearly shit and is not going to make the playoffs. And for some reason, they're not playing their lottery pick, Kaiser, who's, I'm not going to attempt to pronounce her last name. Partially because Kaiser is just the coolest first name to begin with. That, like, why would you have a last name if your first name's Kaiser?
Seriously, like, it's a one that, name deal. You don't need anything else.
The next Rihanna.
The next Rihanna is Kaiser. So, but she's just not really playing, which is weird. So, yeah, I think it's kind of wide open in terms of like rookie of the year race. Charlie Collier in Dallas, who's the number one overall pick, has been quite good, but you know, kind of getting limited minutes. Ari McDonald, who was kind of the star of March Madness, has been doing some pretty awesome stuff in Atlanta. Dejanay Carrington is definitely not like in that race yet because she hasn't been playing enough, but she's looked really, really good when she has had her minutes. So yeah, that was kind of a non-answer, but no one's really jumped out just yet as like that star talent, at least in my eyes, but hopefully they will.
Well, I think so early on still too.
Yeah, we are early on. Yeah,
true.
But I think also your answer kind of brings to mind the conversation that's come up quite a bit recently about how the W needs expansion teams because there are so many talented people who aren't getting minutes. And the rookies are definitely at the bottom of the list as far as getting minutes. And there's just kind of like not enough. There's not enough room for the amount of talent that is coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah. The amount of first round picks that get waived every year is just staggering, especially in a 12 team league. Like, so top 12 picks that are just getting waived in like training camp or like after a week of the season, there have already been two or three first round picks this year who have gotten waived. And that's just like ridiculous. You need somewhere for those people to play and be able to get an opportunity. And even just like people focus a lot on expansion in terms of adding more teams, which would be wonderful and needs to happen. But I think they also need to expand roster sizes. So you can be able to keep some longer term players to develop, but also just like, cause right now rosters are capped at 12 players. And that just creates these situations like with the Sparks right now, one of their 12 players is Maria Vadiva, who is in Russia and isn't coming back until the Olympics. Another one of theirs is their first round pick, Jasmine Walker, who just tore her ACL. So like you're down to 10 players for the foreseeable future. And then two of them got injured and they had to like use a hardship exception just to be able to field the minimum number of players required to be suited up every night. So like, in addition to like, it would be great to get, you know, 15 or 16 teams, but I think we need to get to like 14 or 15 players per team as well. That would go a long way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
If you got to choose where a new team would be, what would you choose?
So I need to do two answers here because my first answer is extremely biased as someone from Northern California. The Bay Area needs a basketball and a WNBA team. Like, 100,000,000%. It just needs one. Bay Area is just awesome just awesome in general, but it's a really incredible area for sports. There's a lot of collegiate history there with Stanford and Cal. There's a lot of infrastructure there with the Warriors having just built a new stadium. The Warriors ownership group has expressed a lot of interest in having a WNBA team. So that's a very realistic one and a very biased one. That I definitely think there needs one there. Otherwise, I would probably say Miami.
Interesting.
I just think Miami is maybe that's a bad choice because Miami, all their other teams always seem to do really bad with attendance. So maybe that's a poor choice. Maybe I should go someplace like, you know, Charlotte or something that has like a more raucous fan base, but it just feels
I think players would like to go to Miami.
Yeah. Right. Like players would like it. It would fit the vibe of the league. I think like you need a cool, like laid back South Beach. And also like players need that. I mean, we always talk about NBA players who aren't playing for Miami, having their like Saturday night game in Miami and getting, you know, drunk on Friday night and playing like shit on Saturday. Yeah. And, you know, I think the WNBA players deserve that too. They deserve to have a party location that they get to roll through once or twice a year.
What about Vegas though? That's a party spot.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I think if we were to look at Vegas's home record, it probably reflects that.
They do have a bit of an advantage.
Just too many crab legs at the buffet.
It's more food poisoning than hangovers. Yeah.
Not even poisoning, just volume of food that you shove inside of you at a buffet. Or is that just me?
No.
No, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Not just you.
So what are some stories that you see developing or some things, because we have a lot of listeners who aren't as familiar with the WNBA. Anything that you think people should look out for or should take interest in this season?
Yeah, I think a few things. I think, you know, for me, the most kind of fun and compelling storyline is there's this very interesting kind of passing of the guard going on right now in the league where you still have like the iconic superstars who were some of the best players in league history, and like Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi and Candace Parker and Sylvia Fowles. And they're all still playing, but you also have this new generation of players like Sabrina Ionescu, mm-hmm. and Asia Wilson and Breonna Stewart, who's still pretty young, who are kind of taking that torch, but they're all playing simultaneously at the same level. And I think that's kind of one of the unique things about the WNBA. The players age a little bit more gracefully than in the NBA. And the young players are a little bit better than in the NBA, in part because they've had to go through 3 or 4 years of college instead of coming out after one. So you end up with this time where it's like the very young players like Sabrina Ionescu in her second season are as good as the Diana Taurasis, who are still like crazy good.
Yeah.
Even in their, you know, quote unquote old age for sports and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And so it's just really fun seeing the different generations that are going at each other and equally good and competing for championships together on a level playing field, even as you see the older players like welcoming in the young players and like actively handing off the league to them. Mm-hmm. So that's really fun. And then the other really fun thing about the league this season is it's just wide open. You know, there have been 3 teams this year in Vegas, Connecticut, and Seattle that have been a lot better than everyone else. But you can make cases for like 6 or 7 teams this year. Mm-hmm. And there's not a clear-cut favorite. There's not that team that you would clearly take over the field the way you get in a lot of other leagues. WNBA usually ends up with this kind of March Madness feel where there might be a team that looks the best, but you really don't have any confidence that one team is actually going to win.
Yeah.
And so especially this early in the season, you just kind of have no idea and you tune in every night and you have no idea who's going to beat who. Mm-hmm. And there's just a lot of parity, which is a lot of fun. And if you like entertainment, there have been an obscene amount of like buzzer beaters and late game shenanigans and overtimes and whatnot this year. So just the theatrics this year, it's been very well contested, which is a lot of fun.
Mm, hell yeah.
I love theatrics.
Yeah.
Me too. Bring on all the theatrics. Hell yeah.
On that note, so much happens in a week. We can't possibly cover it all. So we wrap it up in a little segment called Previously on Basketball.
Previously on Family
Basketball.
Oh. All right. Mercury's Kia Nurse hits insane buzzer beater to defeat the Sky. Storm's Jewel Lloyd hits insane buzzer beater to defeat the Wings. Danny Ainge steps down as Celtics president of basketball operations. Head coach Brad Stevens steps in. Portland's Terry Stotts and Orlando's Steve Clifford are parting ways with their respective teams. Noel Quinn is the new head coach of the Seattle Storm after Dan Hughes announces his retirement. A-Rod's reported plans to move the Timberwolves to Seattle could leave the Lynx in a lurch. Pope Francis gives basketball his papal seal of approval. Damian Lillard is your Twyman Stokes teammate of the year for 2021. LeBron James chooses Toon Squad over Team USA. Let's look at LeBron.
No, I think I'm going to play for the Toon Squad this summer instead of the Olympics. You know, I think that's what I'm. That's my focus on trying to beat the Monstars or the Goon Squad, we call them now. So didn't have much success versus Sun. So now I am gearing my attention to the Goon Squad here in July. I'm going to let the ankle rest for about a month, and then I'm going to gear up with Lola, Taz, Granny, Bugs, and the rest of the crew. So hopefully see y'all at the match.
Oh, he is always be marketing. That's his that's his whole thing.
And I do. Unabashedly corny, too.
Yeah,
just corny. No shame. Yeah. No shame in it.
I love the denim jacket, no shirt combo.
Denim jacket, like, unbuttoned, maybe all the way? We don't know.
Yeah. Mystery.
Like, big chains.
I love it. He's in summer party mode.
He immediately turned into summer LeBron.
Yeah. And we love summer LeBron when he's, you know, partying, drinking, doing Instagram stories of him rapping along to songs. That's my favorite LeBron. You know, he's chilling.
Instagram stories that are like 70
yeah.
stories long.
Yeah,
you
so
can't
many
even
dots.
Like see the individual ones because yeah. all the dots are so tiny.
Yeah,
that's true.
Exactly.
And he's
trying to give a message through his lyrics, but we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It's like, who's the hater? I don't know.
We don't know.
Could be any of them.
I mean, he is so good at promoting. I mean, he's so good at it. He really turned it on after a heartbreaking end of the season, I think.
Yeah. And I do want to say, like, I respect him for not going to the Olympics because fuck the Olympics. Yeah. Fuck the
Amen.
Olympics.
Yeah.
Amen.
It shouldn't be happening.
Cancel
first
that
of
shit.
All. Yeah, but it was corny as hell what he just said.
All right, let's see Kia Nurse's buzzer beater.
Copper, the leaner, no good. Rebound, Phoenix. They're off and running. They don't take a timeout. Nurse hits Kia Nurse.
So Phoenix wow. is down. It's 81-83.
They had two timeouts. Oh,
and she's at the logo pretty much.
Yeah.
And throws the ball.
Heaves it across. And, you know, we see many attempts.
Yeah.
If you watch basketball, you see tons of people heaving a ball from that place,
and it rarely works, but this time it goes right in, and then her teammates
dogpile.
Just dogpile her.
I love that. I love a supportive dogpile.
Oh, such a good fun play to watch.
Yeah.
Were you watching this game, Brady?
I was watching this game. Yeah, I had just turned it on for like the last few minutes.
Oh, and perfect.
Yeah, it was one of those, like, you look at the scores, you see something's close, you turn it on in case something like this happens.
Yeah.
And then it happens. And that play was so, you're like, why are you not calling a timeout? Why are you not calling? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's cool. That works
okay.
too, I guess.
Yeah. Sure.
Guess there's a reason you're in the WNBA and I'm not. Well, a few reasons, but that's one of them.
That's the main one. Yeah. Let's look at Jewel Lloyd and her buzzer beater.
So this is going to have to be a quick catch and shoot. Maybe something.
102-102.
Tied up.
And there she is. Oh, she had it. Catch and shoot for Lloyd.
She's at the top of the key. Throws it or at the three-point line. Big arc. Goes
amazing.
Right in.
Yeah, that ball was in the air for like at least 30 seconds.
Made it look effortless.
Yeah, seriously.
Just like, yeah, just an easy one. Just dump it in there. Amazing. I loved it. Okay, let's see what the Pope has to say. I'm really curious about this one.
It's the first time I've ever heard
okay,
a guy say that.
The official Catholic News Agency Twitter says Pope Francis has described basketball as a sport that lifts you up to the heavens during an audience with members of the Italian Basketball Federation. What does that mean? Does that mean Jesus supports the NBA and the WNBA?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I'm on board then.
Wait, where is Pope Francis from? He's like Argentinian or something. Gabe, look it up.
Gabe's Jewish, so he's not going to have that information at the ready.
Gabe is Googling it.
Wow, twice in one episode.
Definitely not any information I had ready to go either.
I just know he's like one of the first non-European.
Oh, Argentina. Wow. You're okay. Right.
Oh, nailed you're it. Right.
So it's
his name was probably not Francis, you think? Do they make them?
They make up
a
name.
Yeah, because John Paul, there's like 100 John Pauls.
Yeah, he chose. I think you usually choose your Pope name after like a previous Pope that you like. Yeah. Or previous.
It's like,
person.
Oh, I like that guy. I'm going to be saint. Gabe Dannon 2.0.
Wait, there can be. You can just choose to be a Gabe Dannon?
Yeah, if you just respect someone enough. That's how Pope, that's how Poping works. I am Catholic. So, I mean, my family's Catholic. I know the rules. So don't question me. I don't want to hear it. Don't question me.
So I'm just wondering, Pope Francis, you know, there's like, I mean, right now you've got Facu Campazzo, Manu Ginobili. There's so many players from Argentina. And yeah, they have Italian names. They're probably ethnically Italian, but they're from Argentina.
So you
Pope
think
Francis
they should be...
looks like he could hoop.
Yeah. I mean,
he looks like he could get a bucket.
He's just into these guys. And, you know, I like the idea of him being at like a Hooters watching the game with the boys.
Would he go to Hooters? Is that?
I don't know. I'm just thinking of somewhere.
I think he'd
that's
go to
plain.
A yard house.
Okay, yard house. Okay.
Dave
We're
and Buster's
spitballing.
Maybe.
A Dave and Buster's. Yeah. Because you can get a few rounds of like, you know.
Gabe just Googled Pope Francis spinning a basketball, and there are photos of it.
Oh, wow. That's
and
a
the
sacred
Harlem,
picture.
The Harlem Globetrotters.
No, but they're just doing the thing that
they
you
do it for
kids.
They did it for him. It's not impressive.
They spin it and put it on his finger.
They do the hard work. Yeah. I don't want to be rude
Pope
and
Francis.
Disrespect, you know, my family's religion, even though Oh, that's a cute gift. He's so happy.
Oh, he's super happy.
Oh, I wish we could have him as a guest on the show. Like, imagine. I want to hear, like...
He is on our dream guest list.
Oh, he is, yeah. Like, I want to know who's, like, who
it's
he would
him,
kiss.
It's him, Billy Crystal.
the two big dogs.
Can popes kiss? They can't have sex, but can they kiss?
Oh, shit. I should know this. they can't have sex. If they can't have sex, I'm assuming they can't kiss.
You could have like a air kiss or like a platonic kiss.
Cheeks.
Maybe. Yeah, a little European cheek kiss thing.
This is all, Gabe's Googled it, but it's all about kissing the Pope's ring, which we should have foreseen. That's like a whole thing. I'm not going to kiss some dude's ring. Like, come on. How do I know that guy's been washing his hands? Start with that. Like, this pandemic has taught us a lot, which is that many people apparently didn't know how to wash their hands a year ago. They needed to sing a fucking song to do it right. Like, come on. Sorry, Pope Francis. Just joshing.
He listens
just,
and he's
just
pulling, I'm just
hygiene.
Pulling his leg.
He's like, what?
We
I
do
wash
want
my
him.
Hands.
We would love to have him on, hear about like who his team and his players are and his who he would kiss. I want to know.
Okay. Today we watch the Chicago Sky at the Los Angeles Sparks on June 5th, 2021. Let's meet the girls.
Let's go, girls.
Oh, I forgot about that. It's been so long. Okay, on the Chicago Sky.
Sky rockets in flight.
Oh,
afternoon delight.
The starters are Stephanie Dolson, Diamond DeShields, Kalia Cooper, Courtney Vandersloot, and Allie Quigley. Off the bench, we had Ruthie Hebert, Azura Stevens, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing this wrong, and Austin Dewar. The head coach is James Wade. And not playing today was Candace Parker with an ankle injury.
Missing her eighth game.
Yep.
All right. And then on the Sparks. This is only big enough for the both of us. Starters, Nia Coffey, Amanda Zowie B, Erica Wheeler, Christy Tolliver, Tia Cooper. Off the bench, Brittany Sykes. Is it Bria Holmes?
Yeah.
And then head coach Derek Fisher. Not playing today, Anike Ogumike and Chinne Ogumike.
Both knee injuries.
A little bit suspect. What were
sisters
they doing?
Sisters with knee injuries? Hmm.
They were playing a game.
Yeah, they're playing Twister. All right, let's get into the game. All right. So we were talking earlier, this game was not in Staples Center, even though it was a home game for the Sparks. Brady,
was it?
No. Brady, can you explain where they're playing and what's going on?
Yeah. So the Sparks are temporarily playing at the Los Angeles Convention Center, which is Staples Center's ugly little sibling. or maybe ugly big sibling, because it's like 10 times the size of Staples Center, but it's like
right next door. Yeah,
completely adjacent, like same parking lots and stuff. But with all the timing with the NBA games, even though the LA teams are not doing so hot, the Sparks got relegated to the Convention Center until the Olympic break, and then after the Olympics they'll be back at Staples Center for the remaining games on their schedule. So instead, they're at a makeshift place that does not actually have a basketball court, has to get like put up for every game. Does not even have a room for the basketball court. It just is a convention center that they put a basketball court in, which is not the first time. When the All-Star game is here, they put like the celebrity game. When the NBA All-Star game is here, they put the celebrity game and like the other stuff that they don't really care about at the convention center.
Yeah. Then they put the floor from Staples Center, so it still says Staples Center.
It's
yeah,
weird.
Which is really odd. You would think that they would like have just gotten rid of that part, but
yeah.
No. They just and
there's like weird cloth wall. I mean, they're not walls.
It's like a black box theater.
It's just enormous black drapes around the whole thing, because it's literally just a convention center where you have like auto shows and like
Comic-Con.
Trade shows and yeah, Comic-Con, exactly. So it's like it's meant to be like
a giant
20,000 square feet of open space,
right?
And they're trying to make it a basketball court, so they literally, yeah, just totally like a theater, just draped up black curtains that are like 50 feet high just around the entire thing. It's very ominous.
It's weird. It's like, why? Yeah, like especially with Lakers already out, the Clippers, I don't know if that's gonna go for much longer. Like, just let them have the Staples Center. What's going on in there anyway?
Let them in.
You would think.
I don't really know what happened, like if what the reason for it beyond that is, because normally like there is some overlap between the teams and the playoffs and whatnot, and they just make it work, and like maybe they'll get displaced for like a game or two, but they still fit things into a schedule. So I don't know if the NBA just like mandated that you have to like have the dates locked in for every potential NBA finals team, and now there's no way to like reverse that.
Yeah.
But it's really weird, because yeah, there's I think a pretty decent chance that by the time the Sparks play their next home game, there won't be any NBA teams in LA left. So,
yeah.
It's weird.
Weird.
So you went to the game today, right?
I did, yeah.
How was it? I mean, we just haven't been to a game in person. So
yeah.
How did you feel about being there in person? And
it's really weird.
Yeah.
This one felt more normal. So this was their third home game, and this is the second time that they've allowed fans in. Mm-hmm. So Thursday they had a home game. That was the first game with fans. And before that, I've been to their home opener where they didn't allow fans. And the preseason game, which was really weird because they didn't allow fans and it wasn't televised anywhere.
Weird.
So it was like there were a few of us media people there, and we were like the only people who had any way of knowing what was happening in the game other than the people in the game.
That's so weird.
So it was really weird. It was a very like oddly intimate thing. And then like it was a preseason game against the Aces, and Angel McCautry tore her ACL.
Oh, God.
No. And I was like tweeting about it, and it's like, oh, God, there's like no one, like there's no TV of this. There's no, there's no one else here except like four of us who are like tweeting, oh, Angel McCautry just got injured and it looks really, really bad.
Oh, God.
That's all we know. So it was kind of ominous. So now that there are fans back, it feels a little bit more normal. Even though with it being at the convention center, the fans are on like literal bleachers.
Yeah. Like that's just what it metal looked like. Bleachers. You can see them in the broadcast. It's like, is this a college gym or a high school gym?
Yeah. It feels just like it. So it's very weird. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, it's fun being back at games, and it's like kind of the only thing I've done since the pandemic. Like, it went so long without games and without doing any other social activities, which I still haven't really like ramped up again yet. So it's kind of like going to Sparks games have kind of been my reintroduction into the world of like leaving my door and going into a different door that isn't mine.
Yeah.
So it's weird, but fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's exciting. I feel like, we're still scaredy cats, but we need to baby steps our way out of our houses.
We're doing it.
I totally get it. I mean,
We went to the movies.
That's it. Wait, what did you see?
We saw Quiet Place 2.
And it was actually really fun.
Yeah.
It was such a fun movie. And like, it was fun being, there was no one in there.
Yeah. It was,
That sounds awesome.
They're still blocking off like 80% of the seats.
Yeah.
So it's like, I will feel weirder about it once it gets to full capacity, which is very soon.
Once someone else's knee is touching your knee.
And I'm like, I want to see Fast 9 so badly.
Yes.
But I don't want to be surrounded by potential anti-vax, anti-mask people, you know?
We're still considering renting out a movie theater for Fast 9.
I don't know if they're still going to do that.
You don't think they'll do it?
That felt like a very May kind of thing where people were still like thinking about it. And like, it's actually very affordable. It was like, it was like $100 to like rent it out and then split it with like six people or whatever. I'm like, this is great. But I don't know if it's a thing anymore because now, you know, the theaters are just trying to pack it. And I don't blame them.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it does sound like if the timing was better, like if that movie had come out like May 15th.
Yeah.
Oh, it would have been amazing.
We'll let you know, Brady.
Yeah.
Please do. Because I want to see Fast 9 very badly. And I feel like as excited as I am for that movie, I don't really trust that the other people who are excited about that movie are necessarily the people that I feel safest in a theater with during a pandemic.
Exactly.
So kind of a funky Venn diagram there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I don't know what you've been up to.
So this was Candace Parker's first game after being traded to the Sky, right? Back in LA, I mean. This was her, and she wasn't playing today, but they did do like a little tribute video to her, which we didn't see, but I'm sure it's probably online somewhere. But it sounds like it was very moving, and she was like, I love being in Chicago, but it's, you know, it's very nice to come back to LA or whatever.
I don't forgive her for leaving, so I'm just mad.
Fair. I think most Sparks fans haven't, so, you know.
Yeah. Like, stick around, you know?
Yeah.
We liked having you. I feel that way when anyone gets traded anywhere, though.
Yeah.
True.
I don't like it.
It was a moving little thing they did. I mean, it was very, like, conventional.
Yeah.
It was very much just like, oh, here's, like, a one-minute highlight package from like your rookie year to your final year. It was some cool quotes from you. And then there was this really awkward moment for people who were there because she was like standing up near the TV and she had a headset on because she was getting interviewed by ESPN. And it wasn't like clear to those of us who were in the arena that she was getting interviewed by the broadcast. So she was just like standing up while everyone else was like, all the teams were in their timeouts talking. So she was just like alone on the court standing there while the montage goes on, and she's got like a headset.
Yeah.
So like everyone was expecting her to then like address the crowd, and instead it just ends and there's this awkward silence while she's just like quietly continuing her interview on ESPN that we can't actually see or hear. It was very weird.
Well, that was the only part that we heard, and we'd missed the tribute video.
Yeah, we didn't see the video.
Nobody got to see everything.
We saw her talking afterwards. Yeah, that's so weird.
Put together.
Yeah.
That they didn't like pipe that into the people who were there live.
Yeah. It was odd. That would have been a nice touch, I think.
But yeah, so she's not playing. The Sky have had a very touch and go record since they've had so many injuries. They're, you know, definitely trying to get to a point where they can win without their whole squad there. But I think this was definitely like a time for them to prove that. But the Sparks were like, not so fast. And so a couple key moments. I feel like Amanda Zawibee, who's pretty new to the Sparks, was doing some amazing stuff. At one point, she did some very fancy footwork. I think it was in the second quarter, to like evade her defender, and then she did like a little bit step back jump shot that was so beautiful. Like, it was like a textbook jump shot. She was so, it was like graceful and just really fun to watch. I feel like the people who left the Sparks, like Candace Parker and Chelsea Gray, definitely huge, amazing players who are missed. But then the Sparks got a bunch of other amazing players like Christy Tolliver and Amanda Zawibee.
You'll say it with that British accent.
Yeah, exactly. Christy Tolliver.
Tolliver. In it.
So how are you feeling about the Sparks squad this season, Brady?
A little bit hot and cold, to be honest. Like, I think they're really fun, which, you know, from my vantage point is maybe preferable to being good.
Yeah.
But they're kind of in like a weird spot, I guess, because, you know, like you said, they lost Candace Parker and Chelsea Gray, and those two are just so good. Mm-hmm. And you can't really replace, like, in sheer talent, what you lost in them. Mm-hmm. But they're also in like a weird place where, you know, Derek Fisher's coaching the team for his third year, and he just got promoted to general manager. And like, he took over a team that had this star power.
Yeah.
And it didn't quite fit with like the way he plays or the way he coaches and the way he wants his teams to play. And so he was pretty open, like in the offseason after those two chose to leave and go to new teams, that he was going to like prioritize signing players who kind of fit what he wanted to do and really like handcraft a roster. Mm-hmm. And I think he did a pretty good job of that. Like, I don't think they have the talent to be a great team, but the pieces fit together so much better than they did last year when they had more talent, but it was kind of like, it didn't really work.
Right.
And we're starting to see, like, you know, they've got off to a little bit of a bumpy start. They haven't been great, but we're starting to see what they can do as they start to gel and get used to one another and whatnot. And their defense is just unreal. It's one of the best defenses I've ever seen in the league. They're just steals and blocks and traps and rotations just galore. And it's so much fun. They're just, like, I get a little anxiety watching them sometimes because it, like, I think of playing high school basketball and being really bad and having like someone trap me and being like, oh shit, what do I do? And, like, I watch the defense. I'm like, oh, those poor other people. They must be so scared right now. But yeah, I think they'll be a good team this year, not a great team. But I think that by the end of the year, they'll be kind of extracting as much as they can out of the talent they have, and that'll be enough to, you know, have a good record. And
yeah,
I think they'll be a lot of fun in the process. They play their asses off. And so I think, you know, especially once they're able to move back to Staples and get a larger crowd, I think that they're going to be a team that the fans really love, because there's just so much hustle and heart and energy and screaming and like funny attitude.
Yeah.
I mean, funny attitude. I want to highlight Erica Wheeler. Like,
yes,
she is such a force. At one point, she did this like very impressive layup, but just rammed into the like post, you know, behind the basket, punches it, gets, she got the and one. Like, she's just like such an energy. And then like maybe one of the best moments of this game was when Erica Wheeler runs, you know, off the court, completely takes out maybe assistant coach. I'm not sure who was sitting there. A guy sitting there.
She straddles him like fully. Like,
straddles him. His chair falls over. Everyone's like, oh my God, are you okay? And she pops up smiling and laughing. I mean, her attitude is just like impressive.
It was very funny.
That was a great moment. Everyone on the team had like this shitty-eating grin after that play. Like, as soon as they, because it was their assistant coach, Fred Williams. And as soon as like he got helped back up and everyone saw he was fine, you could just see like all the players like turning away so that he couldn't see them, and just kind of like stifling these like super shitty-eating grins. And they were having a great time with that.
It was very funny. And when they played the replay in slow motion, like, yeah, she's like,
he was like, ooh!
She's full on like running towards him, straddles him. Like, they like fall over together. It's just really,
yeah,
really funny.
Yeah. And the second half is kind of like volleying back and forth between the two of them until
it was a close game.
The Sparks, they take it home at the end. They brought it home.
Yeah, final score was 63-68.
Let's give out some donkeys.
Donkeys!
So donkeys are awards that we give out for arbitrary categories. We always give out most points, which has to go to the Los Angeles Sparks. Spark it up! Oh, Gabe, I thought you were going to play the Sparks sound drop. Sorry. What else? What else we got here?
I have maybe a best quote from the announcer. I think it's LaChina Robinson who was like calling this game, who said, "This is very sloppy basketball by both teams here in the third quarter." Because no one was scoring. There was like a real moment in the third quarter where like no one was doing anything.
It was real ugly.
And I just thought it was like, oh wow, you are dragging both teams. No one is coming away from this unscathed. Great quote.
Yeah. I want to give a donkey to Erica Wheeler for she's bringing the entertainment. I love that. You know, we got something fun and funny on the horizon when she's around. Brady, do you have anything?
Yeah. I want to give a donkey to Amanda Zowie B because she, I don't know how much the TV is caught up here, but she yells so much and so loudly.
Wow.
And at like every possible opportunity. And it's so entertaining sitting there watching her, because like anytime anything good happens, she just like puts her arms down in like this warrior pose and just goes, yeah. And then like finds the nearest teammate and then turns to her teammate and is like, hell yeah. And then like daps them up like seven times and then moves on with her life. And
I love
she's
that.
Just, she has one of the most entertaining personalities of any player I've ever encountered. And every time, this is another like benefit that we were talking about earlier of like Zoom press conferences and stuff. Every time she has a press conference, she sits down and like looks into the camera and clearly sees her reflection and then like fixes her hair for like 20 seconds and makes sure that she looks perfect. And then she starts her press conference. And it's great. It's every single time. And it's just, it's so great to just like sitting there waiting watching her do her little beauty routine.
A vulnerable moment.
Exactly. It's so great. She lets you in a little bit there.
I love that.
She's
Gabe loves her.
Yeah, yeah. Gabe's favorite player.
Yeah.
That's true. For all the reasons that Brady just said.
Yeah. Gabe loves watching her fix her hair in the reflection.
Do you have a dunkie, Gabe?
I was going to give it to Amanda Zowie B.
Of course.
Two donkeys.
Okay. I was just going to give her the Amanda Zowie B award for excellence in a WNBA game.
Love that.
10 rebounds, 4 blocks, double-double. Looked cool doing it.
Yeah, she looks so cool.
Yeah, she's so cool.
Her hair's like bright, like maroon right now.
It's so great.
So good.
All right, who wins? Let's calculate it up.
I just want to give one more little award for cool look to Taya Cooper. She's got like eyelashes for days. Mm-hmm. Like she's got fake eyelashes on while she plays, which is already hard to do. It's already commendable. And then her hair is amazing. She's got her shorts the perfect length.
She's wearing makeup. She really like is, you know, she's out on the town.
Yeah. So just want to like shout out Taya Cooper for her look. But I'm going to say Amanda Zowie B wins it because she got two dunkies.
That's very rare that one player gets two dunkies.
Yeah.
So we got to give it to her. Yep. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Hell yeah.
Didn't even have to calculate it. We did it in our heads. All right. Let's move on. Each week we highlight the best, funniest, cutest comments made by our members of the Cutie Nation Discord. It's our cutie comment of the week.
Now to leave a great comment.
This week's comment is from Sam Ding. Sam posted a screenshot of a game where you...
It's like Boggle, essentially.
Yeah,
right?
It's like a bunch of letters and you're supposed to pick out words from it. And he tried to put in the word boy-oy-oy-oying. Which I'm assuming it didn't accept. I'm assuming the app didn't accept it, which is bullshit. And I did tell him, make sure you don't forget bong.
Yeah, bong is in there for sure.
Yeah. Bing.
Bye.
Bing bong? Bing bong theory. Yeah. Thank you so much. If you guys want to be eligible for the cutie comment of the week, join our Cutie Nation Discord. Our lowest level is only $2 a month. That's priceless to have access to those kind of jokes.
For less than a cup of coffee.
Yeah. Try to get a cup of coffee at Starbucks for $2. That's nothing. That's basically a penny. Okay. Sign up on our Patreon, patreon.com/dunktown. Our next goal is 125 patrons. We've been talking about doing an opening night watch along to Space Jam 2. We want to make it happen.
Yeah.
If you're interested and you want to, if you want more content, if you want more bonus stuff that we put out and it's fucking perfect. Everything we do is perfect. Just sign up on our Patreon. All right. There's nothing in our mail basket this week, but if you want to send us something, you can email us at hi@dunk.town or leave a message on our cutie hotline 903-420-DUNK. Tell us what's going on in the world of basketball or in just your general life. Love to give advice, especially if I'm not involved at all. So, Brady, thank you so much for being here. Is there anything you'd like to plug?
Oh gosh, I wish I actually had something to plug, but honestly, I don't.
Twitter.
So, I mean, everyone should read your what you do for SB Nation.
Yeah,
so. Yeah. Follow me on Twitter at Brady Klopp for NBA.
Yeah, you post a lot about the WNBA for our listeners who want to learn more. That's a great place to start. Following. Awesome journalist.
Last time you were on, you had posted something about Anthony Davis's vaginal water slide.
God, I forgot about that. Thank you for reminding me. Oh, that was the best. Oh, thank you for reminding me of that.
I forgot all about that.
So if anyone wants content like that, go to Brady's Twitter. It is gold.
The go-to place for WNBA news and vaginal waterfalls. Not related.
Not related.
Those two things just in the interest of keeping my job and standing with the league people. Those yes. two things, not related.
Completely separate.
Okay, well, thank you again. And thanks to all of our cutie listeners for coming on this journey with us. As always, we love you.
Love you.
Bye. Bye.
For more Dunktown content, check out our Patreon. It's patreon.com/Dunktown. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Dunktown Podcast. I am on Twitter at @echo_mint and on Instagram at @agatamonica. Anastasia is on both at @AnastasiaVigo. Check out our website, dunk.town. If you like the show, please write us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you listen. We always really appreciate those. We have t-shirts, stickers, hoodies, and more available for sale at dunk.town/store. Thank you to Andrea Tomingus for the Dunktown design, and thank you to Andrew Bear for our original music for the show. Sources and references from this episode can be found in the episode description.